And then once you get Genesis chapter 4, get also Hebrews chapter 11. Genesis chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to begin in Genesis chapter 4. Begin in Genesis chapter 4 tonight, and then we'll go to Hebrews chapter 11. All right, in Genesis chapter 4, look if you would, starting at verse 3. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. It says, "In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. All right, now turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and look at verse 4. It says, By faith Abraham offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now, in our text, in both these texts, we read about Abel. And notice there that in both these texts, there in Genesis chapter 4, verse 10, it says the Lord said that Abel's voice crieth from the ground. And then Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it says, But he being dead yet speaketh. Now, thousands of years have passed since his death, and the Bible says, He being dead yet speaketh. And his blood continues to cry from the ground, according to Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. You know, we often speak of those who are gone, and we talk about those who have passed on and who are now in the presence of the Lord, and we talk about them, and we tend not to forget them, you know. And I would pray that if somebody, you know, passes on, that they're remembered for the right things. I mean, you don't want to be remembered for the wrong things. I mean, if you think about some of the outlaws in the past and some of the, I mean, the people like Hitler and Mussolini and people like that, I mean, you don't want to be remembered like that. We want to be remembered for the good things. We want our lives to count, not only on this side of eternity, but on the other side of eternity. In other words, listen, when we get there, we know we're going to get our rewards, but we want to continue to have an impact on this side of eternity, even after we're gone. And in Abel's case, he's gone, and not only is he remembered, but he's still being used of God, if you think about it. I mean, his story continues to testify to the way of God's way of salvation. He's dead, but the offering he brought continues to be used of God as a declaration that one cannot be saved by their own works. You see, when you read back there in Genesis chapter 4, you had Abel who had the flock of sheep. And then you had Cain over here who had, he had grown things from the ground, which was cursed. And he grew those things, and it was his work. He had worked hard to grow those things. And so when he offered that sacrifice to the Lord didn't accept that sacrifice. But God did accept Abel's sacrifice because he offered the fatling of his flock. In other words, what he offered was a blood sacrifice. And the Lord accepted Abel's sacrifice, but he did not accept Cain's sacrifice. And so, you know, the story continues to testify of God's way of salvation. Listen, we are saved today because of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Abel's sacrifice was a picture of that. But the offering he brought to the Lord continues to be used of the Lord as a declaration that a person today cannot be saved by works. Only through the substitutionary and sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ can a person be saved. His faith, as testified in Hebrews 11, still speaks to us. He's dead, but yet his life still speaks to us. Question, wouldn't you want your life to count for God even after you're gone? I mean, if you think about it, I mean, for your life to count for the Lord on this side of eternity, even after you're gone, that's something that I would like. I mean, I would like to have an impact on people. I'd like to have an impact on my kids and my grandkids well after I'm gone. Just a memory of what I did or for the Lord or if I was faithful to the Lord or the memory that I prayed for them or anything like that to have an impact on them. And so when we look at the life of Abel tonight, we're able to see how our lives can count for God well after we're gone. Now, notice first of all, if you would, Abel's life. Now, we're not told much about the life of Abel, but what we are told about the life of Abel is something we can certainly learn from. In Hebrews chapter 11, look if you would at verse 4 again. It says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts." God's stamp of approval was on the life of Abel. God's witness and testified his pleasure and the actions and deeds that Abel did. God was commending Abel for what he had done. And you know, when it's all said and done, what matters most is whether or not God is pleased with who we are and what we are. The question each of us should ask ourselves tonight, really, if you think about it, is whether or not God could commend any of us for what we are and what we have done for him. Could God put a stamp of approval on our lives tonight and say, "I approve of the life that Bob Crowder lived. I approve of the life of who so and such, of the life of so and such and how they lived." Can God say tonight, I mean, can you say tonight that God has put his stamp of approval on the life that you're living right now? Do you think that God tonight could commend you for the life that you've lived? I mean, that's what he did with Abel here. That's what he did. It says right there, it says, "by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts." God has given witness here. God is testifying of the life that Abel lived, and he put a stamp of approval on it. I wonder if he could put a stamp of approval on ours tonight. The question is God, can God approve of our lives? May I tell you that pleasing God is the highest approval that life has to offer. There is nothing that's a higher approval than the approval of God Almighty. And, sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we think the approval of other people is important. But it's the approval of God that really matters. Abel understood this. That's why he was careful to offer to God the offering that he knew would please God. But Cain was not interested in pleasing God. He was interested in getting himself the glory. In other words, he had grown those vegetables on the ground, and he had worked hard, and so he was interested in him getting the glory. Even though he was offering a sacrifice to God, he wanted for him to get the glory. He didn't want to bring glory to God. And God, in his grace, even gave Cain another chance to do right and offer a sacrifice that would get God's approval. God said this in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. He said to Cain, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" I mean, think about this. Cain gave this sacrifice, this offering unto God that was unacceptable. It was works. It was not the shed blood. Remember this, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And so Abel, he gives the lamb and the fat thereof to the Lord, and that lamb was slain and the blood was spilt and there was remission of sins there. But Abel wasn't interested in pleasing God. He wasn't interested in doing what God wanted. He wasn't interested in God's approval. He gave the vegetables of the ground there. And you know what? Even after he did that, God still gave him another chance to make things right. Listen, Cain could have repented. Cain could have said, you know what, God, you're right. Let me go over here and borrow one of the lambs from Abel, and I'll give you that for a sacrifice. He could have done that. God said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? But Cain was not interested in that. He wasn't interested in pleasing God. He wasn't interested in God, getting God's approval. You know, I found that for the most part, people are concerned about themselves. People are concerned about getting the glory themselves. I mean, if you even think about it, and people will do things acting like they're trying to get God's approval, but really they're not trying to get God's approval at all. You remember those Pharisees over there with, you know, when Jesus, when he was on the earth the first time, and the Pharisees came by, and this Pharisee, he put this in the offering plate, and this Pharisee over here, he put this in the offering plate. They did that to be seen of men. But then you had the little old lady come over there and put the two mites in there, and the Lord says she's given more than all everybody else. Listen, those Pharisees, what they did to be seen of men. Even though they were trying to act like they were seeking God's approval, they weren't seeking God's approval. They weren't seeking to glorify God. They were seeking everybody else's approval so that they would get glorified. And I have a feeling that there are a lot of people today that do the same thing. See, they do the same thing. People today are concerned about what others say about them, how others feel about them, how others think about them, and they want to be accepted. They want to be acknowledged. They want to be approved because it's all about them. I've met those. Some of those in church, even preachers sometimes who sought to be popular and praised. However, I've met people across this country that if you call them by name, you wouldn't even know who people were even talking about. They don't pastor the biggest churches. They don't think of themselves as great. They don't try to climb some religious ladder and get their name up in the lights. They don't sit around thinking that they deserve a bigger or a better church. They just love Jesus and they just want to serve the Lord. I've met Christians like that. I've met many Christians who just, listen, they just want to serve the Lord. They want to read the Bible. They want to draw close to the Lord. They just want to serve the Lord. And I'll tell you this, folks, I'll be honest with you. This church is full of people who just want to serve the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. But I pray every day, I pray, Lord, send us some more people. Send us more people in this church, people that just want to serve you, that don't have anything else in mind but just wanting to serve you and growing close to you, that are interested in the truth. And you know what? The Lord has brought people like that in. And may I tell you that if you're not that way, you need to get that way. Because it's not everybody else's approval that matters in this world. It's the approval of God upon your life that really matters. Vance Havner tells of one of his books about a little dilapidated little shop whose owner was about to go out of business. The floor was unswept and the windows unwashed, the goods in disorder, and the proprietor careless and untidy. One day the king came by and saw the wretched condition of the establishment. He said to the shopkeeper, "If you will do as I say, I will let you put over the door the sign that says, 'Approved by the King.'" The proprietor gladly consented. Everything was changed. The floors were swept, the windows washed, the goods put in order, and the keeper himself cleaned himself up. Soon customers began to come in, and the money rang in the till, because over the door was written, "The Approval of the King." May I tell you tonight, the approval of the King is all that matters in this world. You know, it's not the approval of everybody else. You know, when I was young, you know, I used to think when I was in my teenage years, I used to think that the approval of all my friends was the most important thing. I used to think that the approval of the girl that I liked, I thought that was the most important thing. But may I tell you, those things are not important. Those things aren't important at all. The approval of God is what's important. No doubt about it, getting God's approval it's the greatest approval in life. Not only that, but pleasing God is also the greatest achievement in life. What really matters in life? Is it pleasing yourself? Is it pleasing others? Or is it pleasing God? Paul said in Galatians 1:10, he says this. He says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. The bottom line is this, folks. You can't strive to please men and please God at the same time. When it comes down to it, you just make sure that you're pleasing God. And if that pleases men for you to please God, then amen. But if other people over here get mad or get disgruntled because, you know, that and you don't get their approval, as long as you got God's approval, as long as you got, God's stamp of approval on your life and what you're doing, that's all that matters. As long as we're pleasing God. And generally, either you're going to please man or you're going to please God. As Paul said, we don't seek to please men, and if we do seek to please men, then we're not the servant of Christ. Whether we realize it or not, the greatest achievement in life is pleasing God, and God testifying of our actions and giving His stamp of approval on our lives. But sadly today, some like to talk about who they know and what they've done. So what? So what? Spiritual success is not measured in numbers or names. It's measured by whether or not we're pleasing God, because that's the highest achievement in life. So what if there's somebody who speaks evil about you? As long as God approves. You know? So what if you're unknown to people? As long as you're known of God. So what if others are displeased? As long as God is pleased. It's God's approval that matters. Only when we please God should we be pleased. It's all about Him. Is He pleased with our life tonight? Does He approve of our life tonight? So we see Abel's life here. We see the life that he lived, even though we're not told much about it. We see the life that he lived, and we see that God gave witness that He approved of the life that Abel lived. And He gave a witness that Abel pleased Him. And I tell you what, folks, that is a great achievement. You know, we can look at all of our achievements over life, and we can look at the things that we have gotten and some things that, you know, that maybe we've done in the past. But really, folks, I'm just going to tell you that when it comes time for you to pass from this world and go into eternity, none of that's going to matter. It's not going to matter. It's not going to matter if you pleased other people. It's not going to matter what you did. It's not going to matter who you knew. It doesn't matter the places you've been, the things you've done. None of that matters. There's one thing that'll matter to you, and that is, did I please God? And did He put a stamp of approval on my life? That's what matters. That was the life of Abel. That was the life that the Bible describes that Abel lived. But I also want you to look at not only his life, but also look at his death. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 4 again. It says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead." Now in those two words, being dead, we're reminded that the life that we all live at this moment will one day end. There's coming a conclusion of our physical existence on this side of eternity for every one of us. Now, we are familiar with the death of Abel. His death is described in Genesis 4:8 when we read that tonight, where it says that Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now, Abel's death was the first recorded death in all of history. And it was history's first recorded murder as well. So for Abel, really, you know, it was somewhat of a tragic conclusion for his life. But you know, his death reminds us that death is the destiny for us all. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." George Bernard Shaw once said, "The statistics of death are quite impressive. One out of every single person dies." One out of every single person. That's 100%. Like Abel, we all have an appointment with the grave. That is, unless the Lord comes back first. And when we breathe our last breath, the only thing that will matter is what have we done with Jesus? What have we done with Jesus? When it comes to the end of our journey, it'll not matter how wealthy we were or how popular we were. The only thing that'll matter is what have we done with Jesus. Have you accepted him? Have you received him as your Savior? You know, that's, you know, if you remember, Pontius Pilate asked that question. What am I to do with this man? What have you done with Jesus? Have you received him? Listen, if you really want to know that can you imagine? Can you imagine being on your deathbed and not knowing where you're going to be once you close your eyes in death? Can you imagine how horrible that would be? Could you imagine, you know, laying on your deathbed and knowing that you have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ? I can't even imagine that. The great hope that we have, folks, is that we're going to be in heaven one of these days with the Savior. I know exactly where I'm going to be. If I were to die tonight, I remember when I was young, I remember, I was told that prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I awake, I pray the Lord, my soul to take. You know, I understand that we're not supposed to have repetitive prayer, and I'm not saying to pray that prayer. I'm just saying I remember that prayer when I was young. But may I tell you, I know where I'll be if I don't wake up in the morning. I know I'll be with the Lord. Why? Because I have received him. You see, it's important to know what you've done with the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what really matters. You know, we are supposed to preach, as preachers, we're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God according to the Bible. But you know, I always want to remind people that if you're not saved, that you need to get saved. That's the reason I pound it. And some people say, why do you always talk about that? Because that's the most important thing. There's nothing more important than the salvation of a man's soul. And that's the reason why I continuously hit it over and over and over. And yes, I try to preach the whole counsel of God, but that's the most important thing. Because listen, if you have not received Jesus Christ, the rest of it doesn't matter. Why? Because heaven's everything to get there. Everlasting life is everything. If you don't have that, who cares about the rest of it? I mean, the Bible even says over in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, if Christ be not raised, then where does men most miserable? What have you done with Jesus Christ? That's an important thing. What have you done with him? I remember the one time I read this song, or this poem that says, the clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop, at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. At the conclusion of this life, all that will matter is what have you done with Jesus? Have you received him? Now, for saved people, what matters in the hour of our death is not only what we have done with Jesus, but also what have we done for Jesus. Even people who are saved live this life like it's all that they have to be concerned with. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in this life that we forget what the most important thing is. Many worry about their retirement. Many worry about their possessions. But they give little thought to eternity and what's before us. And that one of these days we're going to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, whether moth or rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Sadly, many people that are saved today live their whole life laying up treasures on this earth. But we're told in that Bible we can take nothing with us. Never doing. People today, a lot of Christians today, they never do anything for the Lord. They only do things to lay up treasures on this side of eternity. They attend church on a fairly regular basis, but the whole week their whole week consists of them doing things and activities that relate to them. No thought or time given to things that are eternal, like serving the Lord, like reaching others for the Lord Jesus Christ or doing something that will reap eternal benefits. It's eternity that matters. I'll tell you this, folks. We're going to be living in eternity a whole lot longer than we've been living here. I mean, you think about this. If I live to be 80 or 90 years old, that's nothing compared to eternity. You realize that the moment that you step on the other side of eternity, you're going to live forever. Forever. That means when you get 90 or 100 years old over there, you haven't even begun. There's no end. Why in the world aren't we living for over there? We're only here for a short time. The Bible says that we're just a vapor. We're here and gone. Eternity is what matters. What have you done with Jesus? And Christian, what have you done for Jesus? That's what will matter when this life is over. So we see the life of Abel. We see the death of Abel. And then lastly, we see life after death for Abel. One of my favorite places in all the world, as many of you know, that I love to eat is Cracker Barrel. I love Cracker Barrel. I mean, if it was up to me, I would eat there all the time. But often when I have eaten at Cracker Barrel, I found myself looking at some of the items. You know, when you go in there, there's, you know, old antique stuff on the wall and, you know, a pitchfork over here and, you know, and the things that you put on ox. The yolk is sitting over there and maybe, you know, some stirrups or something over here on this wall. And you see all these old things and these antique things. But also hanging there are old pictures of people. I mean, you'll see pictures, I mean, just like a picture, not paintings, but an actual picture of you know, a husband and his wife standing there by their house or something, or a man over here plowing his garden or something. And you just see these old pictures of people. And I've looked at those pictures, and I've wondered exactly who those people were. Does anybody know their identity still today? Does anybody recall their names? Are their faces still remembered by somebody? Or have they been lost in time, forgotten by the passing generations? You know, life will come to an end for all of us. But the influence that we have, the influence that we have because of the life we lived, doesn't have to come to an end. You see, Abel glorified God with a sacrifice. Abel's sacrifice was a picture of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ that he made for each one of us on the cross of Calvary. And though Abel has been dead for thousands of years, his life is still speaking to us today. His offering still speaks to us. His actions still speak to us. He's gone but not forgotten after centuries of time. You know, when we're gone, will our life have an impact and influence on other people, on those who are still alive on this side of eternity? When we're gone from this world, will we be like Abel, who is still bearing fruit? You know, centuries of time have passed, but Abel continues to still bear fruit on this side of eternity. His life, divinely preserved in the Word of God, still continues to be used of God to bear fruit eternal. Jesus said this in John 15:16. He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give you." Jesus said that our fruit will remain or should remain. In other words, the fruit that we produce shouldn't stop just on this side. Once we die, it should continue on. Fruit that endures and continues. We are to bear fruit that will remain and continue on even after we're gone. And if we do, we'll be like Abel, who is still gone but bearing fruit. Will we be like Abel? Will we be like Abel who is gone but still building faith? You do realize that Abel's record here is not only recorded in Genesis chapter 4, which is history. It's all inspired. It's all given by inspiration of God. But Genesis chapter 4 tells you the story of what actually what Abel did. But when you get over to Hebrews chapter 11, that is a chapter that is about faith. It's a chapter that's about faith of people mentioned in that Bible. And forever, Abel's name will be mentioned when it comes to having faith with God. And by the way, God's word is preserved forever from this generation forever. It's never going to go away. It's going to be forever. In fact, it'll never end. It's never going to be gone. When everything else on this earth is gone, God's word will still remain. And if God's word still remain, Abel will still be mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. And it continues to build our faith from this faith chapter. When we come to Hebrews chapter 11, it is the greatest chapter of faith in all the Bible. God's honor roll of faith is what it's called. And our faith is strengthened by his faith, even though he lived generations ago. Abel is gone, but he's still bearing fruit. Abel is gone, but he's still building faith. And I think about people in the past who have done things for me that still have a lasting impact on me. I think about my grandmother. My grandmother was a woman who, well, she worried a lot. In fact, she worried so much, she worried about worrying. But my grandmother was a praying woman. And I remember many, many times I would talk to her and she would end that conversation by saying, "Bobby, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, Bobby." They all called me Bobby. That was just my name. In fact, to this day, if anybody calls me Bobby, I know that they're family because nobody else calls me that. Of course, I say that now. Now the whole church will call me that. But, you know, that's what she would say. She would say, I'm praying for you. And I will tell you that I think I've been cashing in on the prayers of my grandmother for quite some time now. She being dead, yet speaketh. I was thinking about our faithful Sunday school teachers. Have you ever thought that when you're teaching those kids now, you could be teaching a future preacher who may lead a great revival one day and preach to thousands even after you're gone from this world. You being dead would still yet be speaking. You see, all we have to do, we all have an opportunity to live in such a way and do things in this life for the Lord that will have lasting impacts on others. Maybe it's praying for somebody. Maybe it's just encouraging somebody. Maybe it's just pointing out something in the scriptures that they'll never forget. You see, you just don't understand the impact that you could have in this world as a Christian if you'll just do what God wants you to do and seek his approval. You know, I think back about preachers that God has put in front of in my path as I was learning in the ministry. And I was thinking about some of the things that I can still remember some of the things those preachers said. I remember the preacher that when I was 16 years old, the preacher that was my pastor when I was 16 years old, I remember when I first got in the ministry and I called him up and I asked him, I said, "Do you have any advice for me that will help me out in the ministry?" I still remember to this day what that man said. He said this, he goes, "Just love the sheep. Just love the sheep. Jesus loves the sheep. You love the sheep." I'll never forget those words. I'll never forget the words of my pastor when I was in the ministry who trained me. When he gave me advice as a pastor, and told me, as he was training me, he said this. He said, "How can you possibly teach somebody the word of God if you don't know it yourself?" I've never forgotten those words. You see, that's people who have an impact, who because they live godly lives, because they stayed in the Bible, because they drew close to the Lord, because they prayed for me, because they gave me, scripture. When they did these things, they have a lasting impact. And I'm going to tell you that even though both of those pastors, the one that I had when I was 16 and the one that's trained me, is still alive today, one of these days they're going to pass on. But you know what? I don't think I'm ever going to forget those words that they gave me. And I'm never going to forget the fact that they prayed for me. And because they prayed for me, it still has a lasting impact on me today. What kind of impact are you having on others? If you were to die today, would you still, the things that you've done, would that have a godly good impact on somebody else? Could somebody say about you, "He's dead, but yet still speaking"? I wonder if we're living lives like that. Do you want your life to count for something? Do you want to continue to produce fruit after you're gone from this world? Do you want your faith to still be remembered when this life is over? Then live a life that's pleasing to God, a life that has His stamp of approval. Don't worry about trying to please somebody else. Don't worry about trying to get the approval of somebody else. Live for God. Live a life that pleases Him. And that is the secret to being dead but still speaking. All right, we'll stop there tonight.